This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
So, haere mai, welcome to the Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society podcast. I'm your host today, Haruko Stewart, a member of the Sister City Society and a Japanese Senior Teaching Fellow of the Languages and Cultures Program at Otago University. I'm here today for our ninth episode in the studios of Otago Access Radio, located in central Dunedin. I am right here with today's awesome guests, Satoshi and Amog from the Otago Japanese Student Association. We had too much fun in our last episode to have only one episode, so we will have another episode with them today. I've been excited about having them with me here again. So Satoshi and Amog, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us again.
Thank you for coming. And you kindly introduced yourselves in the last episode. I know that, but for some listeners, maybe the first time to listen to you. So some listeners who missed it, for them, maybe could you please introduce yourselves a little bit again quickly?
Awesome. Hello, everyone. 皆さん, konnichiwa. My name is Satoshi. I've been a student here at Dunedin for about 4 years now. At Otago University, studying PPE, Politics, Philosophy, Economics, and Global Studies. I was born in Japan and just came over here. That's about it for me, I think.
Thank you. And Amog-san.
Konnichiwa, minasan. I'm Amog this, and I have been a student at University of Otago for 4 years, and I've studying a bachelor's in zoology and economics, my double degree. And I have also moved over to New Zealand about 8 years ago. Yes.
Great. From India. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. So in the last episode, you told me that this is your final year at university. And you're going to have your graduation ceremony very soon. Can I ask you about what you enjoyed, like, in your major papers? For Satoshi, you majored in politics and global studies. Mm-hmm. So I belong to the languages and cultures where we actually offer those global studies courses. So can you share a little bit about global studies, what you've done with them, with your teachers and everything? Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Global studies has been really awesome for me because it's allowed me to double major, basically, with PPE, Politics, Philosophy, Economics, because that's a really big topic as well, like a major. But the great part about global studies, it's really international focused, which really reflects my experiences, I guess, having lived like in all sorts of places and what I've studied. It's allowed me to do like politics, economics, philosophy, all international focused, plus stuff that's like cultural aspects as well. So that's to do with the cultures of the environment, how environment is perceived by different cultures and how that matters, along with stuff like in the media and how it portrays certain subjects, depending on the culture and where you're from. And ideas like that, which were really interesting because it helped me to break down my idea and my identity of myself as well, especially being very international. Mm. And along with that, of course, is the language and culture aspects, which, again, were really interesting. Mm-hmm. I briefly mentioned I was studying Spanish, but also I took a Maori paper, an introductory Maori, along with a Japanese paper while I was in Japan, even if I know Japanese. Always good to revise after all. So,
So in the global studies papers, you, of course, had lecturers to listen to all those topics from your lecturers. And assessment-wise, was it like a more like a project-based one in which you all kind of join and be part of that?
Yeah, definitely. Global studies assessments were one of the more interesting ones, I feel. Like, it's been one of the more interesting assessments to do in general. Yeah. Politics, philosophy, there's a lot of essay writing, of course, because of the nature of it, even if there's presentations. But global studies has always been like group assignments, presentations in various different ways, and they encourage you to do more than just essays and mm-hmm. PowerPoints. So yeah, it's definitely been really fun and an interesting way to assess it, I feel.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You have a lot of peer classmates in the course, right? In the Global Studies course.
Yeah, I have a couple of people, especially with the Japanese Student Association. Mm-hmm. There's a few people who are like coming from that club and also in the major as well.
How many students were in your class, for example? I mean, I know you've been taking the courses like every year, so maybe the numbers are different, but normally like average-wise, like how many students were in your class?
I think around 30, 40.
It's not a good number, not too many, but not too few.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the lecturers, Paolo and Moira for a lot of the papers, they like interact with students a lot and it's very hands-on.
Great teachers.
Yeah.
Yes,
fantastic
teachers. I can proudly talk about them.
Definitely.
My lovely co-workers.
Yeah. Yeah. And they take a very hands-on approach, so it's really nice. Yeah.
Do you have meetings with them?
You can definitely have office hours and stuff. They are always open. And for certain papers, especially like the third year global studies paper, which is a research internship kind of thing, they are very hands-on. They're like one-to-one and they're going to be your supervisors.
Yeah.
So the major is really good.
Great. Yeah. You do definitely recommend that to people to take that course, right?
Definitely. Yeah. If you're interested in international stuff and if you want something that's very flexible, I think Global Studies is really interesting paper to take.
Yeah.
Well, major to take.
Yes, we started doing this like several years ago and it's been very popular. Yeah, and learning languages together with it, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So you chose Spanish.
I chose Spanish, yeah.
Do you find it difficult, challenging? Or, I mean, you and Amog-san, like in the last episode, you are multilingual people and you're good at languages, but do you find Spanish a little challenging or what do you think?
Interesting with Spanish because the pronunciation is a bit like Japanese.
Yes.
But then the language is more similar to English in a way.
Yeah.
And you
like
can
word orders, sentence structures.
Japanese is just
opposite. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah.
But that's a hard part for me to teach as well because very, very different from English.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more I try to tutor, like my girlfriend as well.
Yeah, you do tutoring as well, right?
Yeah. And the more difficult I realized the Japanese is to understand. It's like, I don't know why that's like that.
I mean, we just say it.
Yeah, we just do it.
But we have to explain, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that becomes a lot harder.
Yeah. But you learn the language, even although it's your language, you learn more about the language by teaching.
Definitely.
Yeah, the language.
And with Spanish,
To ask Haruko-sensei, how do you structure the Japanese you teach to students?
Well,
depending on the levels, 100 level to the 200 and 300.
Yeah.
How do you divide it?
Well, for beginners courses especially, I'm there as a teacher, but not just as a teacher, but as a person who also learns languages. Yeah, I see myself as like senpai, which is a senior, who is a little ahead of them. Because I've been learning English, I'm still learning English. I mean, learning languages is like a permanent kind of lifetime thing, right? Which I really enjoy. So as a senpai, a senior who has been learning languages as well, I do actually teach them how to study, how to learn languages as well.
Right.
Because really for beginners, it's a lot of things. I mean, it's overwhelming, really. Yeah, because as you know, we've got three different writing systems. So we introduce hiragana first. And then after that, after I see, really, I make sure they have all mastered hiragana. And then I have to introduce katakana. And they think, oh, okay, two writing systems done. Okay. We've got kanji to learn. Now, what? The third one?
That'll keep you occupied for a good long time.
Yeah, so like over just several weeks, those three things have to come in. So I really have to tell them like how to study. So
I do put like a lot of online study tools in the course outline as well. And yep. I do show mm-hmm. them how to kind of use them, what are good about those online study tools in my class as well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, word orders are totally different. So, for example, what is a good one? I love you. Yeah, that's a good one. mm. It's a short and it's a lovely, lovely message. Yeah. So, like, it's I and love. I, subject, and a verb, and then you, right? But in mm-hmm. Japanese, I... and then you and love. And if you want to negate that, you want to say don't or didn't, whatever, or I'm not, you have to patiently wait until the end, right?
yes.
明日会える? Can you, see me tomorrow? 多分... Oh, that comes actually very quickly. Okay. okay, in a polite one, like, oh, 私は明日、blah, blah, さんに、会えません. Yeah, I am a sen. Yeah. So in the end, so, okay, 会え, up to 会え, okay, maybe she can see me. Masen, not. So in the end, until the end, you have to wait. Right. So with kind of a sense of humor and everything, I mm-hmm. have to really introduce these things because everything which is different will be definitely overwhelm beginners, especially if somebody has never learned languages before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does it work if someone were to join you, not from semester one, instead semester two papers?
So it's JEPA 132. So if you like to join 132, you have to have learned it like for maybe 2 to 3 years.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
there's
before that. Exactly. Yeah, because otherwise, as you can imagine, not knowing anything all of a sudden, getting to JEPA 132, that's hard.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. So they have to have some knowledge. Yeah, so for 1 year to 2 to 3 years.
Knowledge, high school. Knowledge about the three...
Hiragana, three writing systems, and some basic grammar items as well.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, because, as you know, every day we do introduce new grammar items.
Yeah.
And it's like building a foundation, very firm foundation as a beginner. Mm. And then we have to add more grammar items, meaning you have to add... the house, the parts of the house, on it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It has to be, the basic foundation has to be very strong.
Yeah, yeah. To be able to.
That's what I have to do in JEPA 131. So really introduce kanji, and I have to, of course, explain because they think, okay, they come from China. So, okay, it has got onyomi Chinese readings and Japanese readings. And I have to even talk about a little bit of history, background history, why Japanese people introduced kanji from China. And then, a lot of things to talk about.
It just seems like for the first year, it's just intense because it's, you need to learn three alphabets. You need to learn the structures and you need to learn the language itself and how it's created in the first place and how different it is from English.
Yeah.
Which means the perspective they take linguistically is kind of different as well.
Yes.
Words aren't made out of like just a bunch of letters and then
exactly.
It's made out of characters.
Exactly.
And the meaning's constructed that way.
Yeah. So that's why it was really good that I used to be an English teacher back there in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. So I know terms like, jargon. Yeah, grammatically.
Right.
So I do use these as well because I'm aware that a lot of my students want to be an English teacher in Japan, especially through the JEP program or at private language schools. So a lot of my students are going to Japan to live there to teach English. So Japanese people, as you know, they're good at grammar. They're good at speaking too. But first, we learn grammar a lot at school. Especially when you start learning the language when you are an adult, not an adult, but like at 12 years old or 13 years old. These days, of course, in primary schools, a lot of schools have started teaching English. But in my generation, it was always in the first year at junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
So not an adult.
Did you do schooling in Japan?
I went to schools in Japan. So I did start learning English just, you know, at the age of 13. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the first year in junior high school. Yeah, so not an adult, but still not like a child who can be just exposed to the language and can just, you know,
pick it up.
And just kind of become good at it, instantly almost. Not like that.
I've heard just from my dad as well.
Yeah.
He does second language acquisition. So.
Mm, yeah.
But he always talks about how it's very different the way you learn as a first language and a second language. Because, there's various theories behind it as well, but it's just completely different fundamentally when you're learning it as a first language. It's osmosis and it's not like you're learning structures. You're learning how you use it just by learning from the examples around you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you get into second language acquisition, it needs to be a lot more structured.
Yes.
And it goes from one language
especially
to another.
Especially if you're an adult learner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. You want to know why.
Here's a fun fact. I learned Japanese through osmosis, what you call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't actually go through the structured way.
Mm-hmm.
I went around the other way around where you just sit around people immersing the language. And then slowly taking baby steps to talk on it.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
Definitely. So that actually helped me build confidence now going into the structured.
That's great. Mm. Yeah. I know what you mean because we learn those things like grammar items, vocab, all those things, which are very important, but we focus on those things a little too much at schools in Japan sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's why Japanese people feel like, I have to be perfect. I can't make mistakes. So that makes them think like, I shouldn't say anything because my pronunciation is not good and everything. So I think we have to be somewhere like in the middle. As an adult learner, I understand that. So my students do want to know reasons as well. Like, so you use this word in this context, or you use this grammar item like this, but why? So I always want to explain the reasons and how it works and everything because they're adult learners. But then at the same time, I want them to be just exposed to it. So I try my best to have speaking sessions quite a lot as well. I mean, of course, it's hard because it's a university, so I had to explain grammar items. We had to introduce kanjis within just, limited times, hours. I had to teach everything. So, I wish I could have more speaking sessions, but we're trying our best.
How's it with the third year, the last year people in your class who are taking Japanese for 3 years now? So,
yes.
How is it structured for them? Do you have more speaking?
Yes, both. Our third year teacher, Ringe Sensei, he's a linguist. Yeah, so of course he wants to, he wants his students to learn the language linguistically as well. Yeah, so discourse analysis and all those things, of course, because as an adult learner, it's good to know them as well.
Definitely.
Yes. So we want to do both. maybe we're aiming high, but why not?
Might as well. And then from the students I've heard about the classes from, like the 300 level classes, some of them are like Japanese native speakers.
Yes.
But they find it difficult because of the linguistic element.
That's right.
Because it's a different approach completely.
Yes.
If you know the language, you might not know the why is that.
Exactly. That's exactly what we were talking about, right?
Yeah,
20 minutes ago or something. Yeah. So we want to actually, provide all those things to, make them all satisfied with this course, these courses, our courses, because like you said, we do have someone like yourself as well. You didn't have to take our Japanese language courses, but still there are some people who are like half QE, half Japanese or half British, half Japanese. So they want to learn them like linguistically and they want to learn it because they want to know because depends on what kind of family they were brought up. And in some families, like even in my 131, 132 courses, some of them were able to learn a lot of colloquial expressions.
But
they want to know why we say this and you know, they want to know linguistically these things too. So in my courses too, I mean, I don't want to do too much because once again, it's a beginner's course, but I do actually analyze, you know, those things briefly and introduce them to show that Japanese word orders and sentence structures are different, totally opposite from English. To give them an idea of how different it is.
Makes sense.
Yeah, from English.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And would you have any tips, three, four tips for someone who's keen to learn Japanese, but he's outside of university and won't be able to learn the way you're teaching? Would be the best?
If someone is not taking courses, but they want to kind of self-study Japanese, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think in any languages we can.
Me too.
Any language. Well, you've been doing very well. Yeah, so I don't have to tell you how to study. You know how to study. Like, you know, in any languages, it's great to actually learn all those everyday situational phrases, right? Good to know them. Yeah, remember them. Yeah, because sometimes some people prefer like getting into depth like of the grammar kind of explanations. But like you were really good at self-studying, you want to be exposed to the language and in a natural way, like through listening of anime and all sorts of things, you remember those phrases and expressions and you were able to use them and you got better.
Thank you.
Some people, even as an adult, they prefer that. Mm. So really, it's up to, it depends on a person as well. Yeah, some people really do. I mean, when I was teaching English in Japan too, some people really want to be just exposed to it. And don't explain grammar items. I just want to remember that and use them and, you know, just want to be good at it. Or some people are really like after class even, sensei, please explain this grammar item, this relative clause. What is it and how does it work? So I really needed to explain everything from scratch.
I see.
So really, even adults are different learners, different way, in different ways they do want to learn.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And there needs to be a mix of the two, I think.
Yes.
You need to have some sort of like the practical, like the theoretical kind of thing.
Yeah,
but then you
both.
Also need to actually use it to be able to improve it. Because language is in the end.
Yes,
it's communication.
We have to use them. We've got to use them, right?
Whether it's in writing, which is communication with someone that's not there maybe.
Mm.
But also communication is speaking and listening, which is with someone that's actually there too.
Yes.
So it's just the practice of language in general is what's necessary. And that's something I need to work on too.
Yeah. Oh, you both have been doing very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So although it's an academic course at university, I want to actually, just like what you've just said, I want to have both. Yeah. Mm. So I want to do, because I've been a language teacher, so I want to actually have speaking kind of session as well. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard. I mean, like I said, it's got a lot of things to cover, but still, I want them to pair up and sometimes in a group of four, three or four or pair work, but I just don't want to have like regular pairs, partners always, especially at 9 o'clock in the morning. I always say to them like, okay, are you ready to move around? So I want to actually put like two different things who haven't talked to each other that often, just I want to pair them up and have fun. And so this person, and of course, think about their personalities as well. You know, we need to have like maybe someone who is a little genkier and someone who is quite, I mean, nothing is wrong with anything. I mean, we are all different.
Some people are more introverted, maybe.
Exactly.
Some people are more extroverted, enjoying talking.
Exactly. I mean, thank you very much. I mean, it's not like, you know, what is better or who is better, not like that. We are different, so good to have different partners always in every class. I know they're very cute. I mean, I'm sleepy. Oh, do I have to move around? Yes, this is a Japanese course. And didn't you know that it's an exercise class as well?
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, just sitting around on the same seat, I mean, with your regular partners, it's fun. I mean, you love your friends, but it's good to have other people to work
with,
right?
It's quite easy when we have a small class like this.
But with your classes, it tends to be a bit bigger, I feel.
Yes, yeah. So in tutorials, we do even more speaking sessions.
Which is a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
I've been to a few, but...
Yeah, thank you. Because as you know, lecture theater is a little bit tricky.
Yeah, especially with the layout of
them.
It's just loads of tables.
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate the timetable people. It must be very challenging to give us all, different classrooms. But, lecture theater classrooms.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit with the language paper, really. And going off of that, it's just you need to talk with other people.
Yes.
You can't talk with just your friends. Because
exactly.
That's not what's going to happen when you get to Japan.
Yeah.
Actually, how was it when you were gone to Japan for exchange?
Oh.
How were the classes?
Oh, you did
there?
Go to Japan for an exchange program.
I did,
Where was it? And
I went
was
to Keio University
for a few months. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just last year from September.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Staying at the dorms there, you tend to talk with other exchange students, which is really cool as well, because it's people from all over. But not as many Japanese students, unless you join specific clubs, I think.
Yeah.
That's where you actually get good interactions. Even so, from here as well, you need to join a club here.
Exactly.
If you want to talk with,
that's why OJSA exists. Right?
Yes. Quick advertisement.
Yes.
Any club, anything you're interested in, just joining there, even if it's not to do with languages. Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Yes.
Especially for any Japanese exchange students.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that could be snowboarding, it could be surfing.
Yeah.
Anything here. Jumping.
Yeah. Especially your exchange student time is quite limited, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people do go there just for, one semester, meaning it's not actually 6 months even. It's 4 months.
Yeah.
So it goes so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you've got to really be proactive yourself.
Definitely.
And get yourself involved with this kind of club.
Yeah. And I feel the classes are great as well.
Mm-hmm.
You get to meet interesting people.
Yeah.
But I feel you build connections, personally, better in clubs and stuff, where it's a common interest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you meet those people there.
Mm-hmm. What sort of clubs were you joining?
OJSA was the biggest one for me, but also futsal was quite a bit of fun. I think I met Yusuf there.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. Football. I just like sports, so football and futsal, I like those. And then the anime club, I dropped in from time to time, and that was what I liked, so yeah. And, it really depends on the person. Badminton for you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you like badminton.
These are the clubs in University of Otago? Okay.
Yeah, mostly for me. Oh.
What about in Japan?
In Keio?
Yeah.
There was Cosmo, which was a Japanese, I think it was Cosmo. It was international students who came to Keio University, and that was their group, basically.
Mm.
So it's the international student, OISA?
Yeah.
Otago International Student Association in Otago.
Uh-huh.
But it's equivalent in Keio University.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so that kind of club was pretty good. And manga club, I guess.
Mm.
I joined those as well.
And university, a big, huge university like Keio, even if you are one member, you can actually come out with a new club, which is called a sakuru.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, I joined sakuru.
Right?
Not a club. Clubs are harder to get into.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Clubs are like OUSA registered clubs.
Oh,
yeah. So it's kind of official. But circle, a Japanese English word like sakuru, it comes from the word, of course, circle, because you make a circle in a way of people to establish a club. But it's a more casual thing. Yeah. So you can start a new club or sakuru by yourself and then start kind of welcoming, other people.
Oh, right.
So it's not really official. It's a casual one. And Keio, Waseda, those Tokyo University, these big universities have got hundreds, thousands of circles.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
And, yeah, you need to be careful with some of them, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Experienced. Yeah.
Which ones did you join?
I didn't join too many. It was like the manga one and then like the international one was the, I think that was a club
actually. Well, you've got to try them all out, right?
Yeah, just try them out like, in, like yeah. Yeah,
so how do you join these circles?
Well, on an entrance day, like entrance kind of ceremony kind of day, mm-hmm. they're all waiting for you at the gate and on campus.
I see.
They really kind of talk to you and, oh, would you like to join us? This is a badminton club or a circle.
Yeah, it's like club stay.
Okay.
Yeah, just like that. Yeah.
And then they have like official websites as well. Like the OSA website or Sportina. But yeah, so where you can look at the circles around.
Yes.
Clubs you can't really join as like a exchange student because it requires quite a bit of commitment.
Mm.
You need to be there at least a year, usually.
Oh, right.
Minimum. But quite often some clubs you need to be a student at the university.
So are these circles paid or?
Depends on the circle. Some of them are paid, some of them are free.
Yeah. Or they just pay things themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they go on trips together.
Yeah.
But each person just pays for themselves together.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not really official. Yes. Official.
Yeah. Quite an interesting concept.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
Probably bring it to University of Otago as well.
Yeah.
That
would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Introduce it across the Polytech and the University of Otago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
there are so many students in Polytech as well who would want to come into University of Otago or because there aren't many clubs in Polytech.
That's why I think in Japan, relations like just not just between the same age kind of people, but with senpai seniors and kohai juniors, you can actually establish like great friendship quite widely through those clubs.
Right.
Yeah.
Through the circles, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, some senpais are a little strict and all that, and you have to follow them, but I don't think it's like before in my generation. It's not that strict anymore.
But probably depends on the club or circles.
True.
Well. Like the sporting ones might be a bit stricter.
A little bit, yes.
Whereas the other ones might be a bit more loose.
Which is good in the sense that you do learn how to show your respect towards your senpais and everything. But sometimes senpais could be quite too strict, maybe.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
What sort of university did you go to, Haruko-sensei?
My university?
And what sort of circles did we go to?
I went to a women's university. Yeah, and it was Catholic university.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
interesting.
In Japan. Yeah.
Oh, that's quite interesting.
Yes. People can't believe, you went to a women's university. Because somehow a lot of Japanese people have an image of like women's school, girls' high school, women's university, and Christian school. Okay, she must be like a kind of like a girl,
like
quiet girl, elegant girl from a good family.
Yeah.
And people are like, you went to a girls' women's university? Nobody can believe that. But yeah, I'm a good girl. Anyway.
Well, we don't know about that.
I mean, joking aside, but yeah, I belong to a tea ceremony club.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I wanted to eat Japanese sweets.
That's fair. That's a great reason. That's a great reason.
And of course, I wanted to learn Japanese cultural things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was able to actually do seiza, you know, sitting, you know, that Japanese sitting posture. Yeah, I was able to do that like for more than 20 minutes. But these days, even just for 5 minutes, I'll be like... I can't stand up anymore.
Yeah. You can sit there, but you won't be able to stand up for a good while.
So were you involved in the tea ceremony and how you do it or?
So we did have like a professional tea ceremony master.
Right.
Yeah, coming to our club every Thursday, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a once a week thing. And the teacher came and we had actually real nice Japanese tatami tea ceremony room just for us. Yeah, that's what private universities, private schools can do.
Yeah,
well, it comes all comes from us, though. But
but you know,
yeah, we can use that.
Yes,
yeah. Certainly. So it was a tea ceremony room. Mm. Yeah, so we were there every Thursday and sitting quietly and looking at the master teacher doing how to do it and make tea, and then we followed that, and we did that, and she gave us advice, and so we wanted to, you know, become better, eating sweets and chatting, but that teacher was very strict, so if we started talking, chatting.
Do you still remember how to do a tea ceremony?
Vaguely. Maybe like this, something like this, yeah.
Spending it a few times.
We had to have real authentic gadgets, right?
Mm.
Or it's an excuse. Because I don't have them, I can't do that. No. But yeah, it's an excuse.
It would be useful if you do remember so that we can bring that as an event for next year for the Japanese Student Association.
Well, you do have another person who's done it properly, so I can introduce that person.
Oh, that would be
amazing.
Yeah, so Culture Club people in the past used to ask her to join them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she's working full-time now, so she could be busy, but nothing to lose. We can ask.
Yeah, just asking.
Yeah, so she was doing that.
Awesome.
Yeah, kindly.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And someone was doing calligraphy as well.
What year was this? When was this?
It was like a long time ago. 2015, 16.
Oh,
even before that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long have you been?
I've been here more than 23, 4. I lost the count.
Oh, no.
Yeah, for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Very long time.
Not in a row. Well, since 2010, I've been here like in a row since 2010. But before that, it was like a one-year contract. So I was here for 1 year and went back to Japan and came back. So since 1997,
oh, wow.
You were not born at all.
Yeah, no.
You were not even a tiny bit in this world. You were not. You didn't exist at all.
Not at all, yeah.
Yeah, 1997 first. Yeah, I came here.
Yeah.
Young Haruko. Came here with excitement and, you know.
What was the plan coming here?
Well, I did my master's in applied linguistics, TESOL, all sorts of things, maybe similar to your father. I did that in Auckland. And I was about to go back to Japan because, like I said, I had been an English teacher before that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe as an English teacher, I wanted to.
How come you were an English teacher in Japan? That's
how
quite
come?
Interesting.
Because I really love English and Western cultures. And I went to a private girls' high school as well, another religious school that's very Japanese, right?
Yes, very Japanese, yeah.
You go to a temple on New Year's Day, and you have your wedding in church.
It's very multicultural in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for positively saying that.
Yes.
But for active believers, what are Japanese people doing?
Japan's interesting with its religions. It's just a mix of everything. Really.
Yeah.
Christmas, it's like KFC.
Yeah,
which isn't very delicious.
I guess.
That one I didn't know about.
Yeah, and on New Year's Day, of course, osechi, Japanese traditional food.
Yeah.
And then recently we do have Halloween as well, like in the past,
Halloween,
10 years? Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, Halloween, yeah. So it's a mixture of everything, which is great in a way. It's maybe flexible and accepting and open-minded. Mm-hmm. But for some people, it could be a little bit.
What were the festivals in your time of high
festivals
school? When you were
that
a school
we
student?
Celebrate?
Celebrated or which has been lost? Or?
Kind of similar to now, but now it's more to it because you kind of Japanese people started adding more and more like every year. So, but I mean, traditional Japanese ones. Yeah, New Year's, and I think around my time, White Day, Day started it.
Yeah,
it's March the 14th.
Yeah,
because of Valentine's Day. In Japan, a woman gives chocolate or presents to a man whom they like, and then you have to wait for 1 month to hear back from them.
On White Day,
you can get candies or flowers or whatever back from your guy.
Were there any personal experiences?
Well, Amog-san is a very good interviewer. Maybe you should become a radio show host as well. I have experienced that. And one romance went well.
That's the best part.
I mean, come on, it's a primary school student thing. So it's not like a romance. But it was great that I gave chocolate to someone. And in 1 month, I waited patiently and he gave me back candy. So I guess he liked me too.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you making me do? Say.
Very Japanese kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, confectionery companies are doing this for business.
It's like even developed further. Like giri choco and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's like obligation.
That existed
chocolate.
In my time too.
Yeah. And then like, there's a range of chocolates and like sweets you can give for both Valentine's Day and White Day.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you give, what kind of meaning that
it has. Oh, really?
Yeah. Good to know. Please listen to him carefully when you go to Japan.
I have no idea exactly the meanings.
Yeah.
But there's different meanings.
Tell us what you know, though.
Like there's marshmallows and candies for White Day and like stuff like that. And it depends on what you give, what kind of like, what kind
flavor
of response you're giving.
Oh, I see.
If that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's interesting. And Japan's very much like kuki o yomu. It's like reading the air.
Reading the room.
It's important.
Reading the room.
And there's like subtle hints and like stuff that you need to read, which I think is like part of the culture, which is interesting, but pretty difficult.
Very difficult.
But like festivities and stuff. There's like natsumatsuri as well, which is obon, all the celebrations and festivities. Japan actually does a lot of festivities, which are really fun, I think, and like very energetic, contrary to like what every day it might look like.
It is quite energetic when Haruko-sensei helped to do the Hanami Festival. During the Hanami Festival, it was quite energetic to see.
Like taiko drums.
Yeah. Well, it's a celebration, so we've got to have fun, right?
Yeah. Whereas normally you're quite like reserved, I guess. Well,
yes.
Not, like Japanese people.
Yeah, not me. Yeah. Worried to say that. Not you. Can I say that?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. I would have. Reserved might not be the first explanation that comes to mind.
Don't worry. I myself say that on the first day in my class. Please don't think I'm a typical Japanese person, right?
Yeah.
Well,
that's why all your students love you as well. You know?
Well, thank you very much. I love them so much. But thank you. So we do all those things. It's interesting.
Quite fascinating, actually.
And 1 year, bookshop tried to introduce a new event to a Japanese culture, which was a San Jordi no Hi. So it's a Spanish kind of day it's like a Valentine's Day, but bookshops wanted you to buy a book and flower companies, florists wanted us to buy flowers and give them to your loved ones.
Interesting.
On my birthday, actually, April the 23rd, San Jordi no Hi, the day of San Jordi. So please buy books and flowers and give them to your loved ones. They tried hard for a few years, but didn't work.
Because
we had already had so many events and festivals already in Japan, because Valentine's Day, White Day, Christmas, and and now Halloween. I think it's been there more than 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah,
Halloween. Also, Natsumatsuri is just like a very
popular one. I love them.
Great. Yeah. A lot of fun. Lots of fun.
What sort of events were there when you got to University of Otago in terms of Japanese culture? Was there even a club back then?
Well, Otago Japanese Student Association, it's been on and off. So yeah, great that you are doing that.
Yes,
thank you very
like
much.
To keep that going.
Yeah, because, and as you know, a lot of, not me, but a lot of Japanese people shy. So to be in a high position like the president or the vice president, I think some people quite shy about being like in front of everybody in public as, you know, like a leader.
Yeah.
So when we didn't have many people who wanted to do the thing that you were doing, I think it was off. So for a few years, for several years here and there, we didn't have your club. So great that you have someone who can take over your club next year.
Yeah,
Naoki was talking about it.
Yeah,
so that's great because there were several years when we didn't have anything like that.
Oh. Yeah, we were actually kind of concerned about, like, is there going to be anyone next year?
But
thankfully, people stepped up.
So. Yeah, so that's why it's also the reason that I want to keep at least my Hanami Cherry Blossom viewing party. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's just once a year, but still, we want something that people can gather for.
Yeah, definitely. Has that been going on consistently?
Oh, yeah. It was the 13th anniversary this year.
Yeah, you mentioned. Yeah, it was amazing.
So except that COVID time, we were doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to keep doing this. Yeah.
I think like events are really important just to build a community as well.
Yeah.
Like have people come together.
Yeah. So the Kanji Club is for that too.
Yeah.
So, and I used to have a chat time thing as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, chat time. Basically, Japanese exchange students and students like yourselves got together in the OUSA club rooms.
Yeah.
And then we got together on Friday, every Friday at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has to be a little bit structured. So we decided on the topic for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, experienced several useful expressions, I guess, which you can use for the topic to discuss. Yeah. And then we had a chat time together.
I've never heard about this.
Me neither.
Yeah.
If you would have time, then could you just restart that again next year onwards?
I know, right?
That's the time.
People of my club
the time.
Are keen.
Yes. That's why I kind of had to kind of ask our students to take it over because I got too busy and so but it was great because I wanted to start doing that, take the initiative, and then you know, some active, proactive students like yourself started joining me, and then I was able to actually give it to them and they were actually in charge of that, and it was keeping going on. And those people graduated and then kind of faded away.
Yeah, that's the difficulty with student clubs and initiatives, I think. Definitely.
Because I'm very happy to be involved, of course. That's why I do, you know, things like this as well and a lot of things I can do. But in the end, it's great that students do take the initiative, right?
We need the students.
Because that's
definitely
that's what it means by students who want to do it.
Yeah.
Not like teachers ask you to do it. Yeah. So, but I wanted to, you know, see them doing that. And so I was very happy to start doing that. And then for a while we were doing that together. But then, of course, like I said, they were so kind of onto it. So, okay, we'll do that. We'll be the leader. So thank you. And my work started really getting busy too. So it was great that they became so independent.
Yeah.
So I, of course, I'll be happy to kind of, you know, start doing that maybe with some people next year. But once again, please bear with me. Forgive me not having too much time at the moment.
But
if they come to me and want to ask me about these things, I can share what's been happening with the past senpais.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate like we're graduating already.
So we could have done it this year.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
A bit like the Kanji Club, I guess.
Yes.
But with the language and communication and stuff.
Because it's all about motivation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have something that you look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, doing it like in classrooms, which is fun as well.
Yeah.
But you want to do that outside of class so that you know, oh, I can use Japanese. I'm not just learning Japanese for tests and exams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm doing it for everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah, that is actually quite important.
Yeah. So, hopefully your juniors, kohais will start doing something. And of course, my support will be there always. But it's good that they do start doing that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll continue it. Like
yes.
The Kanji Club as well. It's a good opportunity to really build a community too.
Yeah.
And
great.
Events too. It's just,
You know, it's too short that we've got so many topics to talk about. It's too short to have just 50-something minutes. Yeah.
So
we could have talked about a lot more.
Who's coming on next after us?
You mean now?
Oh, no.
Oh, you mean
after the next episode for your show?
Oh, well, I've got Shion-san from Kinki Daigaku University, who is organizing coming-of-age ceremony.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm thinking about interviewing him.
That'd be awesome.
Interesting people, just like you yourselves. Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah, so would you like to say something to kind of finish this up, wrap it up?
Yeah,
I mean, like Pete, to those who are interested in Japanese, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, anyone interested in Japanese culture, like the language, you know, taking Haruko-sensei's papers, definitely a good first step as well.
Thank you.
And maybe just joining our club or just chatting with Japanese people in general. Definitely the best way to learn, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And don't hesitate to make mistakes.
Oh, that's right.
Definitely.
That's a very
for any
good
language.
Advice. In any
language. Any language learning.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much. So, well, it's time to say sayonara now. That was great fun. Where did the time go? Thank you so much for joining me again. Satoshi and Amog, you are amazing. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to Satoshi and Amog's stories as much as I have. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. So to follow the society and hear about our upcoming events, you can follow us on Facebook if you search for the Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society. Otaru is spelled O-T-A-R-U. We also have an email newsletter that you can sign up to. You can message the page on Facebook or email us directly at Dunedin Otaru Podcast, no space with small letters, at gmail.com to sign up. So this show is played on Otago Access Radio in Dunedin on the airwaves 105.4 FM and 1575 AM, and also on its website oar.org.nz. You can also listen to us online through your favorite podcast app, including Spotify and Apple Podcast. Just search for Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society Podcast. That's Otaru, once again, spelled O-T-A-R-U. Here is an event announcement. On Saturday, the 10th January 2026, some Japanese exchange students are having a coming-of-age ceremony at the Stuart Hall of the Knox Church on George Street. This is their third coming-of-age ceremony. All are welcome. We'll keep you updated with the event on the Facebook of the Sister City Society, so please keep checking it out. Be sure to join us again next month for a very special show. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. お聞きいただきありがとうございました。またね、待ては、see you soon. Any comments? The last one still.
ありがとうございました。
ありがとうございました。
Thank you very much.
What are you planning to do this summer? Oh, you have told me. you're going to have a lot of fun, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, okay. Yeah hopefully. Graduated, so we're free.
Great. What are you going to wear?
Well, yeah, just hang out and like, you know, have fun.
Find some job.
Yeah. Let's get realistic. I'm sure you'll have a great summer holiday and you'll get a good job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.